if they want to acquire Bitcoin, he has signaled that they're going to look for ways to seize it. Are they coming for your Bitcoin? Are they coming for exchanges, ETFs?
See, what's going on now is that for the first time in history, their system has become optional. It's no longer the only game in town.
Just buy Bitcoin in self-custody, hold on to it, forget about it, go to sleep, wake up wealthy and sovereign. I don't know how much easier you can make it.
We are unstoppable. People just have to understand this and stop getting in their own way, letting, you know, nonsense, fear-mongering enter their heads and paralyze them from doing what's sitting right there in front of them.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I've got Tony and our friend Kevin Queen. Gents, thank you for joining. So up first in the news, we've got crazy stuff going on. Scott Bessent is all over Twitter, Bitcoin Twitter. So a few days ago, he said that the U.S. Strategic Reserve is only going to contain seized Bitcoin. And to me, that is the headline. He said something else the next day that we'll get to. But effectively, for me, this opens the doors for if they want to acquire Bitcoin, he is signaled that they're going to look for ways to seize it. Are they coming for your Bitcoin? Are they coming for exchanges, ETFs, other custodians? I would be curious to hear your thoughts. And Tony, let's start with you.
Yeah, man, I get a very uneasy feeling about what's going on in the U.S. I mean, when Trump was still marketing, you know, to become president, there was a lot of hype, you know, and a lot of hope build up that he was going to be different somehow. And even I, you know, initially, I guess I got carried away with that hype because, you know, deep down, I also want to see some big nation, you know, actually do the right thing for once in a lifetime and, you know, like set the paths right going forward. However, you know, you also have to keep in mind that you're dealing with two worlds that cannot coexist. I mean, one world predominantly exists, you know, based on a system that steals, and another one was created to enrich and return power to the people. And so it's a conflicting dilemma. One of them wants to maintain their grip on you and the other one wants to set you free. But if the one that wants to set you free wins, then the current one becomes obsolete and you're dealing with a system that's been around for decades. And its power has become so big and entrenched that the willingness to let go of it is going to become almost impossible. They're never going to willingly relinquish the power of money. It must be stripped away from them in a way that they like cannot do anything about. Because, see, what's going on now is that for the first time in history, their system has become optional. It's no longer the only game in town. People have options. Bitcoin is real. It's a genuine exit into a completely new world that no living soul can control. That has never existed before. And so it's not like people are stuck. They want you to think you're stuck, which is why they keep closing the on-ramps and off-ramps and, you know, concocting all sorts of, you know, made-up rules and regulations to either scare people away, keep developers away from this space, just so that it doesn't keep growing and pushing forward. But none of these efforts are working because, as you can clearly see, Bitcoin adoption is on fire and it'll continue exploding. And there's new tools and new apps and a new ecosystem being built at a crazy, scary pace, which is very bullish for anyone, you know, looking forward to a world of freedom, of stability, of, you know, where humanity is upgraded. So that message where we're not going to buy Bitcoin, in a way, like in hindsight, it doesn't really surprise me because they're essentially shooting themselves in the foot. Now, the scary part about this message is that when he said we're only going to keep confiscated Bitcoin and we're not going to sell it. Now, does he mean confiscated like as of now and that's it? Or if you look back in history, how easy it is for governments to change a few lines on a piece of paper and then all of a sudden something that is a non-issue now becomes confiscatable. And the easiest target for these things are any third-party custodians. So if your money is in an ETF, if your money is in an exchange, if you're trusting a third-party custodian, Bitcoin treasuries, all of that garbage that is still connected to that old mindset of trusting third parties with money, those are the easiest targets. And those will be the first ones to be quote-unquote confiscated. Bitcoin in self-custody is the revolution. It's the only way to use Bitcoin in the way it was created. Anyone who is not paying attention to this or is deliberately choosing to ignore it is going to suffer the consequences of this attack, which I think is going to come at some point because it's inevitable. So tread carefully, you know, like don't believe the hype. Watch what they do. History, you know, it doesn't always repeat itself, but it definitely rhymes. And this is precisely what's making me uneasy about what the U.S. government is currently doing. And just lo and behold, whatever they do will not kill Bitcoin. It will not affect anyone holding Bitcoin in self-custody. This is going to destroy America's one and only opportunity to lead the way when it comes to Bitcoin and that new world that everybody was excited over initially.
And for anyone who's listening who thinks that this is far-fetched, Kevin, we were messaging last night about the California bill. I think it's passed in the state Congress, and it's waiting for potentially signature from Governor Newsom to the ability for them to confiscate digital assets that have been on an exchange for, I think, 3 years. So to me, the threat does feel real. It's already looking likely to happen in certain jurisdictions. I would be curious to hear what you think on all of this.
I have a lot of thoughts, and I'm kind of having trouble where to begin, because it's an interesting comment what he said on the news segment. I think Tony said it pretty well, though. I mean, these two issues can exist. I mean, being a true Bitcoiner and all the things that it represents and being part of the government, I mean, they don't work together. I'm going to take a slightly optimistic view where I know that Trump, based on his recent purchases, is a Bitcoiner. I don't think he believes in the ethos of Bitcoin or represents. I think he's really in just to pump his bags. Bessent, I feel like he's definitely a Bitcoin supporter. I think he has Bitcoin himself. I don't think he fully understands it, but I think they're caught in this chasm of, you know, this situation where we've got so much debt. You know, and what do you do with it? So I don't know if Bessent got caught in the deer in the headlights in the news segment where he forgot that, oh yeah, we are supposed to be buying it, and just said we're only going to keep what we confiscated. And and then you got a tweet from Trump or a few phone calls a few minutes later and said, no, actually we are buying it. That's the plan. That's what we told the people. But ultimately, just like you guys said, you can't trust what they're going to say. And it just reminds me of, you know, Bitcoin doesn't need them. They need Bitcoin. You know, they're trying to stretch the runway out with Tether and the stable coins and everything. But ultimately, you know, things are going to play out the way they will. And I think the other interesting thing is what's happening in the EU. And it just reminds me of the nonsense that's going on over there. And they can do as much as they want. They can try as much as they want to keep people in a CBDC and to confiscate their assets and regulate. But it's just going to push people to an option and the only option is Bitcoin. I mean, that's the only way you can protect your assets from inflation, from confiscation. And I just can't believe that. And thanks for bringing that news story from California to me. I have a hard time understanding how they can just consider a bill to confiscate your crypto or Bitcoin that's been sitting there for 3 years. I mean, it just, if you had savings in an account for 3 years, you know, there's no law that says that you can take that. It blows me away what they're trying to do right now. So obviously not your keys, not your coins.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is where being a student of history is important, because we, you know, a lot of people think the 6102 style attack is, you know, beyond reason. It's never going to happen. But like, it's happened within the lifetime of people who are still who are still with us. And so it's important to just be prudent, understand the risks. And I would just say, sort of to Tony's general, the theme of his comment was, it's just, it doesn't matter. Like, buy Bitcoin, self-custody, make sure it's unconfiscatable, and then ignore the talking heads. That's my ultimate takeaway. Alrighty, guys, up next, we've got Google banning unlicensed Bitcoin wallets in the US and EU. It said the war on self-custody has begun. So this was a few days ago. More recently, I think the following day, it was actually the day that Bitcoin temporarily flipped Google in terms of market cap. They rescinded that and said, okay, never mind. Because my impression based on my feed was they were getting tons of pushback. And then the same thing happened with Vicente. He came out and said, we're actually going to look for budget neutral ways. By the way, guys, confiscating your Bitcoin is a budget neutral way. You know, pillaging Coinbase is a budget neutral way of acquiring Bitcoin. So keep that in mind. This doesn't necessarily mean benevolence. But Adam Semeca had this good point. He said, I think Bitcoiners have more power than we think. And so I don't think we're necessarily able to have the authority, the power to shape policy, because we're 7 months in, they haven't bought anything. They're still quote unquote considering ways to, acquire Bitcoin in a budget neutral way. But the fact that it's at least changing narratives to me indicates the Overton window is shifting. So Tony, do you think that Bitcoiners have any level of influence, or is it growing? Do you think we're still very early in the Bitcoin movement's ability to influence politics?
No, Bitcoiners and people in general are the most powerful force that we have at our disposal right now. The problem is that there's still too many people that don't realize this or don't believe it. Like I said earlier, the legacy system, as of 2008, has become optional. It's no longer mandatory. If you don't want to live in it or you don't want to use it, you don't have to, not anymore. There is a way to transition out. And the fact that so many people are pushing back, that's a very good sign, because this is what's going to force the separation of money and state, or at least it's going to force the current system to scale down significantly in its ambitious attempts to control and enslave the world, because they understand that people know that there's an exit and there's enough people opting out now that there's nothing they can do about it. Other than, if you want to like really go crazy here, concoct some sort of like a war, where it comes down to violence between, the corrupt and the free. They duke it out. Whoever survives more wins the game. I pray we don't come down to that. But, I don't discount anything when it comes to, the hunger for power and the desperate attempts that human beings over the course of history have gone through in order, to keep it. So Bitcoiners are the most powerful force out there right now. The numbers are on our side, not on corruption side. More people need to understand this. You just opt out. And just by doing this, this is a message. This is a vote. This is a nail in the coffin of the legacy system. It puts an end that much more to corruption and all the stuff that you are, indirectly paying for, whether it's the wars, the genocides, the crime, the pedophilia, all of that shit is funded by the fiat system. By opting out, you are not just securing your own financial freedom, but you are saving other people's lives by de-incentivizing the very system that fuels it. So absolutely, Bitcoiners have a lot of power. We are unstoppable. People just have to understand this and stop, getting in their own way, letting, nonsense fear-mongering enter their heads and paralyze them from doing what's sitting right there in front of them.
Tony, I cannot wait for that to be converted into a short to be shared with the world. So Kevin, we were in Las Vegas together. We saw, so many politicians, right? Like, so many people, like state, officials. We had J.D. Vance was there. Obviously, Trump was in Nashville last year. I'd be curious to hear what your take is. Is this, do you view this as political pandering, which is kind of my base case given what we've seen so far? Or do you think there is some intent for, progress on this front, on the, front of, quote unquote, digital assets? Where's your head at on all of this?
No, I think you're right. I would say that, yeah, I think we definitely have some pandering coming from the government, but ultimately we have
a lot more control. I mean, it's as Bitcoiners have more power than you think. We have a lot more power than they think. Not only did we help elect them, but I'm going to use the Rothschilds quote, you know, give me control of the money. I care not who makes the laws. That goes for the U.S. government. That goes for the EU. You know, if you have centralized money, guess what? They have control over the law. But if you decentralize money and more people are starting to wake up and they're starting to opt out, and when that happens, guess what? Decentralized money, decentralized power. I mean, I think it's that easy. I don't think that, I'd like to think that, you know, these people at Google and even Bessent are smarter than, you know, the news would suggest recently. I don't know if a bunch of people tweeting about them making decisions that they don't like, and especially Bitcoiners, rolled back their statements. I'd like to think there's some really smart people that actually do understand Bitcoin at Google. And I think Google honestly probably just made an oversight and they didn't want to, you know, ban custodial wallets, but who knows? But yeah, we definitely have a lot more influence.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find out soon enough what was going on there. Actually, no, I don't think we will. Alrighty, so there was a video. We'll play this clip real quick.
Well, greetings to you. I'm down here in the Quantux and doing a bit of walking. I'm also here in Minehead for a small conference on geopolitical situation at the moment, but that shall come out later. But I'm coming on, breaking up my day a little bit, because my gold, my favoured gold dealers are coming back and telling me that banks are really, really being difficult now. If you want to get out of their bank and buy gold, and I'm just going to pinpoint this now at the Nationwide. The Nationwide is a very, very bad bank indeed. And they do not seem to understand that clients come first, that if you want to take your money out of their dodgy bank, and all banks are dodgy, you want to take your money out of a dodgy bank and put it into gold sovereigns, they will make it almost impossible. And there are situations where they're closing accounts or reporting you to the fraud squad, doing all sorts of things. If you are with the Nationwide Building Society, get out while you can. Transfer to another proper bank. They're not a lot of them aren't particularly good, but you know, try Lloyds Bank. They don't seem to be arsy-tarsing about quite so much. For goodness sake, get rid of Nationwide.
Alrighty, so this gentleman is warning the world about a particular bank. He calls that Nationwide. Believe it's in the UK. And our friend Sean Clark says the only thing that protects you against the banks and tyranny in a digital age is, you guessed it, Bitcoin in self-custody. It all comes back to self-custody, everyone. If you're not paying attention, or you maybe zoned out for the first few minutes of Tony speaking, this is really important. So the point he's making is that people who are trying to withdraw funds to purchase gold are effectively being blocked, it sounds. This is, Tony, I'm going to let you take this one first as well, because this is kind of the whole experience of interacting with the fiat system, is that they have control. And what you experience in Lebanon is you can knock on the door, and if they don't want to give you your money, they don't have to give you your money.
This is fascinating, man. This is absolutely amusing to me to watch, because I can't decide who's going to be the next Lebanon now. At one day, I think it's the UK, and then I hear stories like this, and then, okay, maybe Australia is, you know, taking the lead here. But all of these things that you're starting to see, these are the exact signs of a system that's about to completely, you know, fall apart. I saw this in Lebanon, you know, when the restrictions start to happen slowly and then suddenly. This is exactly the same thing. What's going on now at that specific bank is a bank run. People are, you know, wanting to take out their money, convert it until it's in this example, for gold. It doesn't matter what they want to, you know, put their money into. They just want to take it out of the bank, and the bank doesn't want that, because, of course, if enough people do this, the bank goes, you know, flatlines. And so now they restrict it. So now it's gold. Tomorrow, you know, it'll be something else. And after tomorrow, it'll be something else. And before you know, they'll tell you, you know what, fuck off. You have access to nothing anymore. And then other banks are going to copy and paste this. The same playbook, just a different flavor of how they're doing it. We didn't have gold restrictions. We had, ATMs were not working. The credit card limits were regularly reduced. And then before you know it, you have access to nothing. This is very similar. The big thing to take out of this is that it highlights how weak and rotten the fiat system was all along. How can something that's only 16 years old cause a global collapse of a system that's been used to enslave folks this quickly? That means that at its core, the legacy fiat system is garbage. If it takes something only 16 years to blow it up, then we had the power all along, but we were brainwashed to believe we had to depend on it. And now when there's an option that exists that tells you, no, you don't, and you've been a dummy your entire life, and here's why, well, human beings, not all of us, are retarded, right? Some of us start paying attention, some of us sooner than others. And thankfully, there's a large enough percentage of folks that are finally, you know, the light bulb is going off. And they also understand, why am I putting myself through this shit? I'm going to exit. I don't need this anymore. I can live a life, you know, of abundance where my life becomes cheaper over time because I'm finally dealing with real money, not worthless paper, that is deflationary, not inflationary. And I can actually be in a position to help my family, people that I care about, and not always be struggling and having a stroke every time I enter a supermarket because the government tells me inflation is 3%, but the price tag at the supermarket tells me it's 28%, right? So the option to exit is available. These are the signs. These signs from that, you know, whatever shitty bank that is, that's going to be found, the domino effect of it is going to spread everywhere. Each bank is going to come up with its own reasons, but the underlying message is, at some point, much sooner than I realized, you're going to be locked out of your funds, whether by full out closing it or hyperinflating it where your purchasing power is a zero all the same. So don't ignore the signs. This is not a movie. This is real life. When people, you know, are shouting on social media and on the streets and trying to warn you, it's not to be annoying. It's to hopefully try to, you know, get you to react.
Kevin, is there anything you would add to Tony's warning?
I think you said it pretty well. I mean, whether it's gold, whether it's actual cash or whatever fiat currency that you have in your nation, people are going to opt out of it once they finally wake up. And when you go to the bank and they don't have it, I mean, you can't keep piles of cash at home. I mean, that's not safe. It's prone to theft and rot and decay and flood. You know, you can't keep gold bars at your house if you want to go to a harder money. So there's one option. You're not going to go to, you know, digital fiat with other shitty, you know, cryptocurrencies. You're going to go to the hard asset. And there's only one way to keep it safe. So, yeah, I mean, I can't really add to the inflationary talk. It's pretty simple. I don't know why people are making it complicated.
Yeah, I think the gambling and speculation ends as people wake up and we, you know, all the crypto and all that stuff just gets, you know, eviscerated. Alrighty, guys. Well, speaking of other things that might be eviscerated. So over the last 3 years, the S&P 500 is down 80% in terms of Bitcoin. It's about to make a new low. This has been the, you know, no pun intended, but the gold standard of beating inflation for a long time, the S&P 500. As we know, it basically tracks M2 money supply more than it, you know, beats inflation. So depending on what you want, you're getting poorer. If you want valuable things, you're getting poorer. And if you want a flat screen TV, you're getting wealthier with the S&P. Not very helpful. Tony, I imagine you think this is a trend that is likely to continue. It all trends to zero against Bitcoin.
Absolutely, man. If fiat's going to zero, everything attached to it is going to follow right along. Why would you put any money in an S&P 500 or anything else other than a deflationary asset that no human being can control? You do this because either you don't understand, you know, Bitcoin, or you still somehow believe that this, you know, this world is going to live on forever, and somehow you're going to always beat the rate of debasement or theft that is going on. At some point, even the most bullish person, you know, on that side of the fence is going to realize that there's nothing more that they can do, and they're going to opt out eventually. So $900 trillion worth of global assets are starting to find its way into Bitcoin. This is not by coincidence. This is because intelligent people are doing the math, and the math is very clear. You keep your money in a losing system, you're going to go down to zero along with it. You opt out, you live happily ever after. The decision is very easy as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's well said. So it's funny. I shared on X recently. I've finally begun getting some messages. I've got four phone calls, or two people inquired about Bitcoin, and then two more people I've actually got calls with to discuss. Plus, I'm meeting with my church next week. My one friend reached out. I sent him Joe Bryan's "What's the Problem" video. And he reached out and was like, "Hey man, I made some notes and everything." And he's like, "I think I'm kind of starting to get it." And I said, "Yeah, I think you're onto it." And what I told him was, I said, "There are a $250 trillion in total assets, and Bitcoin is only $2 trillion of that today. When people realize that they could hold themselves uncensorable, unconfiscatable money with a fixed supply instead of," and I kind of went through all these other assets, real estate, you've got jurisdictional risk, you've got property tax, all these things. But I said, stocks and companies that people don't even actually understand, they have managerial risk, cybersecurity concerns, competitors. When you begin to recognize that those are your options, I can buy gold, but then it's going to inflate a little bit every year. And also I can't really secure it very well. Oh, I've got stuff. Like when you begin to just break down Bitcoin versus fill in the blank asset class, it becomes very evident why you would just hold Bitcoin and why you wouldn't mess around with these other things. Kevin, what's your take?
This is one of my favorite slides. I'm going to quote Jack Mallers because he had actually had a really good talk about this a few weeks back, where I think this post on Twitter or X is pretty conservative, actually. I mean, if you look at the market versus Bitcoin or gold in the last 16 years, he makes a really good point that we've gone through another Great Depression. It's not just, 80% down or even a recession. It's the full depression because, if you truly understand that the price of everything, whether it's the S&P or the stock, it just rises at the rate of inflation. So, if the rate's on average 8 to 10, that's just keeping up with inflation, whatever your gains in your market is. But you could look at other assets you arguably have. So whether it's your house, whether it's your car, you could pick anything. Gas is up. I guess gas is relatively flat, but food, you can make the argument, well, why not just put your investments in bananas and hold those onto bananas for, 3 years, and the price of bananas go up. It doesn't matter. The point of it is it all gets inflated based on something. And if you compare it to gold, you can compare it to Bitcoin, everything drops like a rock compared to it. So if you hold the hardest asset that doesn't inflate at all, that has, the highest stock to flow ratio, then there's one answer. It's Bitcoin.
Okay, guys, up last, we've got just in from Simply Bitcoin, former Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan executive indicted for gambling away $4 million in investor funds for his online casino company. Kevin, we were talking about this yesterday. Why don't you fill people in on what happened? And just more evidence that it's not Bitcoin that's for criminals, it's fiat.
This epitomizes counterparty risk for you. This idiot took investor funds. I guess he had a pool of investors between 3 and 4 million who he had this idea of creating a cryptocurrency related casino online gambling site, is my understanding. And people saw it as a good investment, and he didn't use it for that. Instead, he used some of it personally for his speculative cryptocurrency trades, probably not Bitcoin, but other shit coins. And then on top of it, decided to gamble the rest, an online gambling. So yeah, definitely squandered it. But this is where I just want to remind people that, you've heard the term, the hurdle rate is Bitcoin, and it truly is. There's no counterparty risk with the Bitcoin. There's no CEO, there's no investor, there's nobody, there's no phone to call to see what the best investment's going to be. You can't beat it. Stop gambling. Stop buying other cryptocurrencies. Stop gambling with, the stock market that's being debased and falling like a rock compared to Bitcoin. Just buy Bitcoin in self-custody. Hold on to it. Forget about it. Go to sleep. Wake up wealthy and sovereign. I don't know how much easier you can make it.
Wise words, Tony.
Am I surprised, that the thieving cartel is gambling away people's money? Of course not, man. Bitcoin, and they say Bitcoin is for criminals. Well, you can see where the criminals really are and in what world they play. These are the institutions that millions of folks are placing their life savings with, you know, thinking that they're properly managed, safe and sound. These are the same people that you're seeing more and more now on the headlines. This is not a safe place. This is a delusion. And anyone who doesn't, you know, heed that warning is going to learn that lesson very painfully.
Well said. Gents, it's been a blast for everyone listening. Thank you for tuning in. Hey, Kevin, why don't you tell people where they can find you online?
On Twitter, really. It's Royal Poison. I post occasionally.
Awesome. Thank you for joining. For everyone listening, appreciate you being here. Look forward to catching up soon, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to the bitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.